Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at Vic Morrow, an exceptional actor taken tragically after a short career. I hope you enjoy the show. In this show, I'm going to introduce you to an actor whose career was criminally short. His name is Vic Morrow, and he was born on February 14th, 1929, which just happens to be the day the St. Valentine's Day Massacre took place in Chicago. He spent much of his career in television, but I'm going to tell you about some of the films he made, and if you take the time to see any of them, you'll see what a great talent he was. Curiously, he was convinced he would die in a helicopter accident, and that's exactly what happened to him. He'd just finished a comeback role in The Twilight Zone, the movie, in 1982, when a helicopter crashed on top of him and two children, killing them all. He was born in the Bronx and joined the Navy. After his service ended, he went to college to study law, but tried his hand at acting and found he enjoyed it more than the law, and thank God he did. In his first film, he played a delinquent youth terrorising Sidney Poitier in a New York classroom in Blackboard Jungle in 1955, directed by Richard Brooks. Glenn Ford is the teacher, and he's new to the job and has trouble coming to terms with the situation. Anne Francis plays his all-suffering wife. This is a compelling film, and you can see Morrow's talent shining through. It's a great debut.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around 10 o'clock tonight. Put your slat bags on. Join me home.
Robert Wise spotted him, and the year later he was in Tribute to a Bad Man, a pretty good western starring an ageing James Cagney as a no-nonsense horse farmer who deals harshly with anyone rustling on his land. Vic is underused in this picture, and it's Cagney's film all the way, and one of his better later films. Miklos Roza wrote a great score. Thank you. Anthony Mann was the next to cast Vic in one of his rare war films called Men in War. This is a great picture, full of Mann's top-notch direction. Robert Ryan is trying to save his platoon from getting wiped out in Korea when Aldo Ray turns up in a jeep with a shell-shocked general, played by Robert Keith. This film kept me on the edge of my seat, and Vic has a sizable role. A great score from Elmer Bernstein, too. It was about this time that Vic became sought after in TV, but his next film role came in Hell's 5 Hours, a film noir in which he plays a psychotic ex-employee who plans to blow up a missile fuel base run by Steve McNally. Of course, McNally's wife and son get taken hostage by Vic. His portrayal of the man with a grudge is outstanding, and he steals the picture. Music from Nicholas Karras.
And that concludes the night final edition of the news. Weather tomorrow, cloudy with light easterly winds starting late tonight. Temperature about 72. Rain probability 10%. This is your hometown station, WMER. The time is now 9:30. Stay tuned for Rhythm Rancho, bringing you the latest Western songs.
Yes, it's 9:30. You want to go to bed early tonight, but for some reason, sleep comes hard, and as the minutes tick away, your thoughts carry you outside. Your town with its peaceful family people grows quiet and dark, but you know that some places never sleep nor stop their activity. Like the nearby plant, it's too carefully guarded for you to know too much about it, except that it makes a fuel that is used in rockets. The thought crosses your mind that rocket fuel must be terribly powerful, terribly dangerous, the key to a new age.
Vic was back on Anthony Mann's must cast list, and he made God's Little Acre the same year, again with Robert Ryan and Aldo Ray, this time with Tina Louise in her film debut. They're a dysfunctional family of cotton growers in Georgia. Robert Ryan is a widower, convinced there's gold out there in his backyard, and he gets his sons to keep digging holes to find it. It's based on an Erskine Caldwell novel, and Tina Louise tends to steal the screen as the sultry daughter.
I'm gonna tell you about God's Little Acre.
Very well, very well.
Seeds of love are planted on God's Little Acre.
Very well, very well.
Oh, the men, they worked and they prayed to their maker.
Very well, very well.
Crop of gold, it would be partaker.
Very well, very well. Digging in the moonlight, digging in the star, digging in the ground till the digging was done. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. From back home.
If you got trouble, don't pay no mind.
Very well, very well.
Everybody got another kind.
Very well, very well. Digging in the moonlight, digging in the sun, digging in the ground till the digging was done. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come back home. Come back home. Come.
Told you about God's Little Acre.
Very well, very well.
Now I told you about God's Little Acre.
Very well, very well. Digging in the moonlight, digging in the sun, digging in the ground till the digging was done. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre. Come over to God's Little Acre.
Vic was busy making his name in television for the next few years. Then in 1961, he played gangster Dutch Schultz in James Pevney's Portrait of a Mobster. His performance is electrifying, and we are blessed with Neville Brand playing Al Capone, as well as Ray Danton playing Legs Diamond for the second time in his career. One memorable scene has Capone in a meeting with his henchmen, who are scared to breathe for fear of upsetting their boss. This film remains surprisingly unknown to this day, but should be seen without doubt. Vic spent the next decade mostly in television, including 162 episodes of Combat, in which he played one of the two main characters. My next choice is A Step Out of Line, a made-for-TV movie from 1971. It's set in San Francisco, where three friends, all in need of money, plan and execute a bank robbery. Peter Falk masterminds the whole thing as he works at the bank, and Peter Lawford and Vic Morrow are excellent in their roles as a photographer and an electronics boffin. Music was by Jerry Goldsmith. The Glass House in 1972 is a hard-edged prison drama where Alan Alda is a new inmate and soon realises that fellow inmate Hugo Slocum, played by Vic Morrow, is in charge. The atmosphere of this drama is terrific, made possible by the fact that a lot of the cast were real inmates at the prison where it was filmed. It's based on a Truman Capote story and has a ring of authenticity which makes it one of the best prison dramas I've ever seen. Dean Jagger plays the warden, disinterested in changing anything, and Billy Dee Williams, one of the inmates. And Vic Morrow is constantly threatening and mesmerising. A couple of years later, he was in another film with Billy Dee Williams, The Take, in which he plays a gangster being investigated by a black cop, played by Williams, sent out to the sticks from San Francisco. This film could have been a contender, but the script lacked work, and Vic's character is painfully underwritten. Also in 1974, he made a film in South Africa called Funeral for an Assassin about a disillusioned hitman's plot to blow up heads of state at a funeral. Vic is in top form again as he masquerades as a black man to blend in amongst the locals, whilst a bright cop tries to ferret him out. Thank you. Finally, I'd like to tell you about Deathstalk, a very interesting film from 1975, in which Vic teamed up with Neville Brand again. They're two of four convicts on the run from jail who run into two couples on a white rafting vacation. Vince Edwards and Robert Webber play the husbands, and Carol Linley and Anjanette Comer play the wives. The fugitives decide to take the two wives as hostages and dump the husbands. Unfortunately, the husbands break free from their ropes and a game of cat and mouse begins. For 1975, this is a risk-taking film, with the wives playing sexual politics in a bid to stay alive. Brand is on top form, as is Vic and the rest of the cast. There are a couple of other Vic Morrow films worth watching, but I haven't managed to track them down yet. He worked in an Audie Murphy Western, Posse from Hell, but you hardly notice him in it. Also, he played a hostage taker in a René Clément film called Wanted Babysitter. But again, he didn't get used properly. The reason he shunned movies for television was because he felt he was being typecast as a villain, and he wasn't being given the opportunity to show his acting skills, which is fair comment in today's world. I guess all we can do is be thankful for the work he did leave behind before he was abruptly taken in the tragic helicopter crash. Curiously enough, when he was working on Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry with Peter Fonda and Susan George, he demanded $1 million life insurance policy before he would agree to acting in a helicopter as a police captain. Vic Morrow was an exceptional actor. Rest in peace.
To